has no control over me. I have my fears, but they do not have me. I'm not quitting on you. There's no one.
That's Peter Gabriel, some really great music from his new album called Up. Really love that album. Puts me into an interesting mood. Well, hi there, this is Charles, democraticfundamentalism.org. For those of you linking in from other websites, want to welcome you. Here at democraticfundamentalism.org, we've got links from news sources to substantiate most of the stuff I talk about in the broadcast. Just look for the ongoing report of news in review. And as I always say, you don't have to take my word for anything. I don't have to make this stuff up, even if you think I do. Love that Peter Gabriel album. Lots to talk about tonight. The Psychic Children come back up tonight. Music, synchronicity, patriotism, Iraq. I love this. Iraq challenges Bush and company to a duel. Sounds like something I'd say. And and entertainment news, the passing of a great director-producer, as well as a real humanitarian. Well, let's see. I was talking last night about the Psychic Children. Well, I received this email this morning. It says, yes, this is from James Twyman, a singer who performs peace concerts. He's put the major religions of the world's peace messages into song to perform them wherever he's invited. It says, beloved friends, in 1998 I had the great honor of traveling to Iraq at the invitation of Saddam Hussein to perform the peace concert at the Rashid Theater in Baghdad. At that time we stood at the brink of war, and there didn't seem to be any other alternative. I personally believe that if millions of people prayed peace, that a miracle would occur. While I was performing the concert in Baghdad, the prayer vigil began, and at least 5 million people from all over the world participated. 3 days later, everything changed. To everyone's surprise, Iraq backed down and the war did not occur. Well, we need another miracle. I'm preparing to Iraq for another concert and a prayer vigil. Please pray for me and the success of the mission. The present goal is to be in Iraq on October 12th, and I will try to send daily updates while I am there. Most of you know about the psychic children I met while traveling through Bulgaria last year, especially a young boy named Thomas. Since then, Thomas has been offering me his wisdom on many topics, most recently on the low-frequency testing being deployed by the U.S. Navy that is killing our ocean mammals. I sought his advice on the current tension between the U.S. and Iraq, and I was surprised by his simple answer. I believe that this should be the foundation of our actions as we seek peace in Iraq and the whole world. This is James Twyman. He says, this is what I received from Thomas. There are three things we ask you to do. Focus on what you want to have happen, not on what you're afraid will occur. If thousands of people focus their hearts on a positive outcome or a peaceful conclusion, then you will help shift the tide of fear toward love. Then love will prevail and the conflict will dissipate. Two, pray for the leaders of the countries involved, especially President Bush. Pray that they be guided by love, not fear, and that their actions be for the benefit of all humanity. And three, know in your heart that everything is perfect, even though it may not seem to be. Everything is happening as it should to demonstrate the reality of peace on earth. We love you, Thomas. And then from James Twyman himself, I, like so many others around the world, am appalled by the war posturing taking place in Washington. It is so easy to disagree and be angry, but I also believe that Thomas's advice is vitally important. My anger does not help, but my compassion does. I cannot ask George Bush to have compassion if I do not. I want to be part of the solution, and I know all of you feel the same. Therefore, we need to act as spiritual warriors and seek peace at the highest level. That is my goal as I prepare for this journey, and I ask you to join me. I will keep you up to date as I plan the trip. In the meantime, please join me in following the advice of the children, who remind us that we already have everything we need to create a new world. In peace, James Twyman. So you see, it's not just me. It's a whole world of agreement about the need and desire for global peace and abundance for all. There's a lesson for everyone, too. I have to admit, I feel better to find out that I'm not the only one out here saying things that are a little unusual compared to the norm. But like I always say, once you start talking to people, you find out that they think all the same kinds of things you do. Maybe not in the same terms, but in the ultimate thoughts and conclusions, in the desires and needs you have. So, feel free to talk amongst yourselves and speak it into existence. It's so important. With that in mind, I'll just mention my online book over at the Union. It's called For the Love of the World. It talks about all this kind of stuff, like what I mean by a cultural revolution. Right now, I'm just writing the preface, an overview of what will be in the book, and I'm going to write it online just to make it a little more fun. Today, I'll be adding the section called Children, Creators of the Universe. That one will upset a few people. We'll call that a good thing. Soon on the Global Democratic Citizens Union, we'll be featuring one of our pet projects other than caring for children. Getting on the love train and heading to Africa in April. I'll talk about my birthday in Hawaii and the return of dolphins to Hawaii in March fairly soon. That's the globaldcunion.org, where we really believe in power to the people and, of course, global peace and abundance for all. With that, we will, on the other hand, identify the Bushism of the day, which is not just a phrase, but an entire approach to the potential for war against Iraq. Bush and company says war with Iraq may be unavoidable. They say none of us wants war. They say war is our last choice, not our first. And the UN and Iraq have got to know our will is strong. He said that, by the way, with his right hand moving. The last part of all of that is the only thing that's really true, though. You know, the part about the will is strong. And war may indeed be unavoidable if we keep sticking our airplanes in places they shouldn't go. Done, if we put our fighters in harm's way, they may encounter potential harm. Let the UN do its work and relax a little. Go do smart work. Guys are beginning to sound like kids who don't want to share their toys, man. Sorry about that. Cut off. Their actions definitely suggest that all they have in mind is finding an excuse and setting up Iraq to slip in some way that gets the world to turn their heads and allow the U.S. to assert itself as an aggressor nation. That doesn't sound like what Americans want. In a moment, I'll talk about Iraq's latest challenge for a duel with U.S. leaders. I like that idea. At least they still have a sense of humor. Maybe they're from Santa Cruz. Well, anyway, we'll also talk about the incredible leadership being shown by Vladimir Putin. That ought to make some people really like me out in Bush and Company land. Well, anyway, here's the first story. U.S. drops leaflets warning Iraq of counterattack. By the way, to get a look at the leaflet, just click to the CNN site at the beginning of that link. Interesting little leaflet. The U.S. military has dropped leaflets over southern Iraq in a promised psychological campaign to undercut support for Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein, U.S. officials told CNN on Thursday. Propaganda is being dropped over southern Iraq, warning the rank-and-file Iraqi military not to target coalition warplanes. The wording notes a determined U.S. effort to attack the sources of such ground fire and says you could be next. I'm sorry, it's just so Western. The leaflet mission occurred in the last several days, with one such drop coming under fire by Iraqi ground forces. Officials told CNN a plane carrying leaflets flanked by jet fighters came under fire during a flight over the southern no-fly zone of Iraq. U.S. and coalition warplanes retaliated early Thursday with a raid on a location about 160 miles southeast of Baghdad, targeting Iraq's air defense sector headquarters and operations center near Talil. A Pentagon-supplied English translation of the leaflet says, "The destruction experienced by your colleagues in other air defense locations is a response to your continuing aggression toward planes of the coalition forces. No tracking or firing on these aircraft will be tolerated. You could be next." Notice that they actually acknowledge that we're flying aircraft into Iraqi areas, and that we expect them to just let us do whatever we want. Bomb them, kill their people, whatever. We provoke them and then call them the aggressors. Gulf of Tonkin over again. We attack, they retaliate. The U.S. government claims that they started it, so we're justified in defending ourselves. The oldest governmental let's-go-to-war trick ever invented by Hitler. The Iraqis made me laugh today, though, really. They challenged Dick Cheney and George Bush to a duel to settle matters in order to save the Iraqi and American people the suffering of war. Maybe these guys did talk to somebody in Santa Cruz. Nonetheless, the White House rejects the Bush-Saddam duel offer. This is from Kelly Wallace of CNN. I'm sorry, it just puts a whole new light on. Anyway, the White House scorned an Iraqi leader's suggestion that President Bush and Saddam Hussein could resolve their differences in a duel, calling it an irresponsible statement that did not justify a serious response. That's kind of what Fleischer said about there's no need to say anything about Al Gore's statement. There's got to be something to say. I just want to point out, in the past, when Iraq had disputes, it invaded its neighbors. White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer told reporters there were no duels, there were no invasions. There was the use of weapons of mass destruction in the military, and that's how Iraq settles its disputes. Now, look at that. You know, it's like, isn't that exactly what we're doing? We're going to use weapons of mass destruction in the military to settle a dispute. It's one of those Bushism things. Fleischer was responding to comments made Thursday by Iraqi Vice President Taha Yassin Ramadan in an interview with Abu Dhabi Television that was also broadcast by CNN. The Iraqi leader argued that instead of going to war with Iraq, Bush should participate in a personal duel with Saddam. Bush wants to attack the whole Iraq, the army, and the infrastructure, Ramadan said. If such a call is genuine, then the American president and a selected group with him face a selected group of us, and we choose a neutral land and let UN Secretary General Kofi Annan be a supervisor, and both groups should use the same weapon. A president against a president and vice president against a vice president, and a duel takes place if they are serious, the Iraqi vice president said, and in this way we are saving the American and Iraqi people. And you might wonder why I think the world is very absurd, but it's really not that bad an idea. Ari said, though, there will be no duels. It's probably true, because Bush just wants to invade them. It's pretty obvious. All the while saying they're the menace, while we do all the evil. Reminds me of my favorite episode of Northern Exposure. You know, they actually stopped the continuity of the program to put a dueling scenario to rest when Maurice, the town's financier and former astronaut, is involved with a duel with an actor from Russia named Nikolai. And at the end of it, they just moved on because, as they said on camera, they knew the audience was much too sophisticated to accept the premise. On the other hand, I'm sure a few people in Washington, D.C. will not appreciate these remarks, but I want to applaud the leadership being provided by the leaders of many major nations in the world, particularly Russia. That Mr. Putin has impressed me for quite some time, and I've been watching him. The thing is, he and other leaders are responding to what the people of the world have been saying, not just a few advisors. And they seek peace. Storyline, split opens up on Iraq resolution. This from Moscow. A public split has emerged over Iraq as Russia, France, and Germany all openly reject the tougher new UN draft resolution proposed by the United States and Britain. On Thursday, Russia's Deputy Foreign Minister Alexander Soltanov said, attempts to make the UN Security Council subscribe to the automatic use of force against Iraq are unacceptable for us. He added, what the British and Americans have presented to us only strengthens us in the correctness of our view that the inspection monitoring regime in Iraq should be resumed and that a political solution concerning this country is needed without the automatic use of force. Now, meanwhile, don't be fooled, because, you know, the war takes all the headlines in an effort to keep you from addressing the needs of American citizens during the next elections. Always remember and never forget, the needs of the people are never outweighed by the agenda of the government, despite what the administration says. Speaking of which, I'd like to take a moment to say thanks once again to Chuck Hagel for standing up for American principles and prudence, as he continues to do on CNN. Also to Paul Wellstone of Michigan. I think he'd be a shoo-in in his re-election. He's been a favorite legislator in this household for years. A couple of hats off to Jim McDermott of Washington State, where I live on the edge of a rainforest where it's raining. Also David Bonnier of Michigan and Mike Thompson of California. They were the Democratic reps who went to Iraq to see for themselves and to report back to America. We should be proud of their courage to do the right thing, no matter how popular, in order to stand up for what's right in this world. I think it's part of the cultural revolution I've been talking about. Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, he pleaded guilty today, saying he wanted to spare his family and friends the embarrassment of the publicity. Martha Stewart resigned from the board of the New York Stock Exchange, saying she didn't want to undermine the work of the organization. Frankly, I still think Martha is one of those people who got sucked into something and went along despite her own intuition, but time will tell, and the truth is the truth. Well, for some reason, I feel a need to get a certain fact straight. Apparently, there has been no study at all to suggest the gene for blonde hair is facing extinction, despite media reports. I was worried there for a while. Speaking of blondes, sort of, I was telling a friend about the movie Shallow Hal. It's about a guy who really is picky about women, and he meets Tony Robbins, you know, the human potential guy. Tony convinces him to see all women as beautiful, whether they are or not. So he meets an incredibly overweight woman, but because of the illusion of beauty, he sees Gwyneth Paltrow instead. I told my friend it was unfair to use her in that part. Anyway, you figure that out. But interestingly enough, when considering the Hunger Summit and the Global Democratic Citizens Union, we thought, who would be the best people to represent the spirit of the union? And while we never contacted any of these people, we thought maybe one of those people would be somebody, you know, kind of like Gwyneth Paltrow. And not because she's a famous actress, but because of her demonstrated commitment to people and the planet. And a heritage in her family of doing good in the world. That's why it's even more sad to me to have to mention and express my sadness at the passing of Bruce Paltrow, her father. Producer-director Bruce Paltrow, husband of actress Blythe Danner and father of actress Gwyneth Paltrow, died Thursday in Rome, Italy, and reported by Steve Huvain, a spokesman for Gwyneth Paltrow. Bruce was 58. He died suddenly from complications resulting from pneumonia, Vane said. He was on holiday in Italy with his daughter, who celebrated her 30th birthday last week. Paltrow directed and produced the 2000 comedy Duets, which starred Gwyneth. He also produced several television series, including the 1980s hospital drama St. Elsewhere, and the late 1970s series The White Shadow. He also directed episodes of Homicide, Life on the Street. His credits also include being co-creator and co-executive producer for the 1992 NBC series Home Fires and the director of the 1994 CBS pilot The Road Home. Paltrow's first brush with directing for the big screen came in 1982 in the comedy A Little Sex, a romantic comedy that starred Tim Matheson and Kate Capshaw. Paltrow had suffered from throat cancer for several years, but the cause of his death was not immediately known. In other entertainment news, things you want to remember, there's, of course, the concert for Timothy White being put on by the likes of James Taylor, Sting, Don Henley, John Mellencamp, Sheryl Crow. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. I swear I should be paid for this. Shows are on October 7th and 8th in Boston and Madison Square Garden. Guess I'll have to catch it on pay-per-view. It's not coming on there, but I can always hope. Peter Gabriel's new album called Up is incredible. You definitely want to get it. Springsteen's Rising, too. Just great stuff. The TV show Jeremiah, starring Luke Perry and Cosby's Malcolm Jamal Warner, will be picked up for another season. I really like that show. The other day I mentioned that I was still standing and offered that I'd be hearing something about Elton John soon. Well, you know, because he's got a song called I'm Still Standing. But, well, I was wrong, folks. Found out today that Still Standing is the highest rated television show on TV. Guess I'll have to watch it. I wonder when it's on. I was talking about George Harrison the other day. Turns out Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr will be playing at a memorial concert for Harrison at the Royal Albert Hall. That comes up on November 29th. Harrison's music was all about universal love and peace and caring. Definitely is one of my faves. More entertainment news, of course, is online at CNN. Funny thing is, everything there has something to do with a conversation I've had with someone recently, but I won't go into it. The synchronicity goes on and on. It's strange, but by the way, nice job on Lily. We'll be doing international weather next week. It'll be interesting. Final story of the day. How about the Republicans accusing Democrats of trying to steal an election in New Jersey? I can't believe it. Then they take it to the Supreme Court once again to get the Supreme Court's nod on protecting the interests of a Republican candidate, which, of course, is just like last time, is always more important than the people. Or anyway, and this is, you know, just how they seize control of governmental bodies. Watch how this works. It worked in Florida. Check out the transcript at Aaron Brown and Newsnight for October 3rd for an entire interview about it with Bill Frist. I don't know. Sort of qualifies as cheap entertainment. Book of the day and the latest entry in Lou's list, that's Lou Dobbs' Moneyline. It's the book called Andrew Jackson, His Indian Wars by Robert Remini. You know, I heard this thing about, something about Conan O'Brien and Lou Dobbs was going to change the theme to his show. He's going to call it Rappin' Lou Money. No, Rappin' Lou's Moneyline, that's it. Rappin' Lou's... I don't think, you know, if he does that, the next thing you know, he'll be dying his hair or something. You know, it's hard to believe. Anyway, tomorrow I'll be talking about my guy, Walter Cronkite. You know, the guy says, and that's the way it is, and it always is. Anyway, that'll be courtesy of a program from Wolf Blitzer and CNN. Can't wait for that. And we'll talk about Robert Blake deserving a bail hearing, too. With that, that's a wrap. This is Charles, DemocraticFundamentalism.org.